Oh my gosh, and we are back. Were you here for the first hour? You should have been, because we were riveting. Anyway, my name's Matt. With me, as always,
Romy.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, that's because you don't know. Get on the trolley, everyone.
I'm going to be good this hour. I've had my V8.
You should have a V8.
It's empty. The can is empty. But, well, I mean, there's still stuff in the can, but I'm the can now.
Wow, man, that's like deep.
I know, right?
Whoa, it's now meta. I'm the can, man.
Yeah.
Soon I'm going to be V8P style. No,
probably sooner than you think.
Yeah, exactly. So what I'm referring to is we have a two-hour block here on Radio St. Pete, and we take over the airwaves. We're crazy with it. So the first hour is the indie circuit. And if you're listening just now,
Matt had a very unfortunate, grammatically incorrect name for it that he stopped using. Oh, did I just reminded you, didn't I?
You did.
You know, the last
hour of power.
Asterisk. I've noticed for the last few weeks, you haven't done it, and I intentionally kept my mouth shut. And
I know. I thought of it,
I won't say it, because if I say it, he'll say it, and
I thought it was funnier than it probably was. That's why I stopped using it.
We get to have a little discussion about it. We kill about 20 seconds of airtime every time it comes up, so it's got value.
Cause that's the mark of every good radio show. Kill a couple seconds.
I'm just saying I'm not saying it has high value, but it's got value.
People are like, why are we losing these two idiots? They're killing time. Great, because that's what I need.
Hey, that's all any of us are doing, really, in the grand scheme of things. You know, yeah. All we're doing is filling that space between when our heart started and when it's going to stop.
As Iron Maiden so eloquently said back in the 80s, as soon as you're born, you're dying. Yeah. Which they probably stole that from somewhere.
Yeah,
or Megadeth.
But that's
he stole that from Megadeth.
God, I hope not. That's
here's some music. We'll be right back with things that say that mean something.
I just ate the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life.
Yeah. Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Oh my gosh, that was, of course, our favorite gal, Lolita number 18. I played, I don't know, three things that are written in Japanese, so I couldn't tell you what they say. I think they said happy fun time and little puppies and smiles for everyone.
It didn't sound like that's what they were saying.
Yeah, you're right. That was not what they sang. I don't know the names of them, and I should do diligence to learn that, but I'm a dumb American, so I don't. So,
but hey, you're listening for the music from Japan, so you should know.
It's on you, man.
It's on you. Yeah, you're listening to it. You're intentionally listening to a show that's...
It's fake news. It's all fake recordings. nice. So, yeah, so last hour, I was talking a little bit. I just discovered this like thread on a pinball forum. And if you don't know, I'll catch everyone up to date real quick. I was think there's this guy who started a company called, like, what is it, Homepin? Homepin, I think that's the name of it, yeah. And it's in China. So he's a guy from Australia who started in a pinball machine company in China. It makes parts and machines and stuff like that, you know. And
original tables?
Yes, yeah. Okay. But the thing is, I guess they were showing them, like, making all the parts. They were showing them making the coils, making the stuff. Like, they have the machines to make all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking, I don't...
So not to branch off here, but does like Stern do that? I mean, do they use off the shelf internals, right?
If they can.
Well,
pinball, that's the thing. Pinball right now is not, it's hard to be profitable, so any part that they can, if they can get a part and save it, or if they can reuse a part that they've used for the last 10 years and they just keep using it, they will. They have to. Pinball is so intricate, and there's so many moving parts and so much involved in them. Any inkling you can save, you have to.
Gotcha.
You know, some of those things. Not to cheapen the board. That's the other thing. Pinball is a very, by its nature, it's a violent thing happening under that glass. It's metal hitting metal. It's trying to destroy itself.
You know, like I was amazed when you handed me a pinball one time at how heavy, that's solid metal. How much that sucker actually weighs. And I remember you saying that when you take the glass off and play,
it's deafening. So the reality is they can't cheap out too much. Otherwise they would just destroy themselves and be worthless in 2 months, you know, but they have to save money. So this guy, basically he was talking about, I didn't read it all cause it's 49 pages and I don't have that kind of time in my life, but the beginning of the thing was talking about, well, the reason I'm in China is cause I can't do it in Australia cause labor wages are this and just the laws, but they couldn't do it. And then somebody was saying, oh, cheap China junk. And an interesting point, this is why I'm getting to this. China doesn't, the reason junk is coming from China is because they're making it to the specs of the people ordering it.
Yeah.
If somebody in Western culture, in the West said, I want the greatest piece of unobtainium widget you can make, they'd make it.
I mean, I have an iPhone X or an iPhone 10 right here. Most people would not call this cheap China junk, but guess where it was made?
That's what he was kind of saying. He was like, "Look, blame the Western, the consumers and the customers. Don't blame China. They make what they're told to make.
Right?
Not told to make. That's not you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Like they follow.
They're given a price and they're given a spec and they got to meet those. And
they want it for a nickel and they want to sell it for $20.
Which means there's a compromise that's going to have to be made, and and everybody setting up that production line knows what those compromises are, and they also know how not to make them if they're given the budget not to. Yeah.
And it was so funny because
makes sense,
and I don't know why it never clicked as an American, just some dumb guy who I'm trying my best to learn stuff, but I'm not, you know, I'm just floating through space till I die. Like I never thought of it that way. Like no. I've never been critical of it, but I've heard that phrase Chinese junk, or much more vulgar, my whole life. And it's like, well, that's not the reality of it.
And there may have been some truth to that at some time, you know, like during Mao's Cultural Revolution, when things were, you know, like there were people starving over there and things, there may have been some truth to that. And it would make sense because
Japan was like that before.
Oh, well,
their stuff was garbage and they had an industrial revolution. And said, no, from now on, everything we make is going to be top quality.
Yeah.
You
know, and of course, plus on top of that, though, you know, at the time when, you know, Chinese products were starting to come into, you know, like when things from that part of the world were starting to become readily available here, there was also kind of a cultural backlash to it.
Of course.
You know, just like we have today about sending jobs overseas, you know, the middle class people were working in factories and stuff here, and we're importing this crap that's undercutting our own, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, I think there may have been historically some truth to it, and I think there was definitely some social.
Well, it's tough.
I mean, social, you know,
my job got shipped to India.
Yeah.
I mean, ask people in Detroit all about how they feel about other countries making cars.
About Korean and Japanese cars, yeah.
And, you know, I try to take a much, not benevolent, but I try to like just...
Well, malevolent would mean
benevolent. Yeah, benevolent.
You know, that's weird. For two words that mean basically the opposite, they sure do sound a lot alike.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I should stop choosing
words. We're making deep connections here on the show.
It's like, man, before you know it, we'll solve all the problems of the world.
We will.
I'm going to solve
some problems. By at least episode 300.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to solve some problems before I even bother. What I was going to say is I try to not use dumb, like, paintbrush
stereotype. Don't you hate it when you decide to say something articulate words just don't flow? No, like, it happens to me a lot, too. It's
like,
embarrassing.
I try not to be stereotypical, saying just like, oh, they took our jobs, or oh, China's junk. You know, they're just people too, just doing their jobs, and we're just doing our jobs. You know, it's just one of those things where I'm kind of like, you never know. The truth is always somewhere in between.
But you know, everybody's we're all entitled to an opinion, though.
The funniest thing though is the thread. I'll jump ahead just back to something I can talk about, and not sound like an idiot. The thread degraded into people complaining because they pre-bought something that they didn't get yet from 2013. So, I don't know. Maybe
that's a pretty valid complaint. I mean, if it took you 5 years, if you pre-ordered 5 years ago and you're still waiting,
yeah, I know.
Unless they told you it wasn't shipping until 2020.
No, so now it's the train wreck you can't stop watching. Like, now I'll probably go on there just to read that thread from now on until the destruction.
Damn Australians, you know.
No, till the
they steal your money.
Till the site's gone under construction and then it's just gone and then there's no more site. You know. All right, so here's some music.
You gotta give me a ride. I'm way too big to drive to the devil's house. We'll be right back.
it's your old pal Krusty for my new pork sandwich, the Clogger. If you can find a greasier sandwich, you're in Mexico.
Ah, yes, the soothing tones, the dulcet tones of the bat. I played Batman theme, Summertime Blues, and Jailhouse Rock. I like playing those because...
No, is the Batman theme... I was taking a bathroom break when you were playing that. Is that...
Well, it's the Batman theme, except they scream Batman.
And is it the like the 60s series one?
Yeah. Yeah. But much more...
Violent.
Dulcet.
Yeah. Ooh, let me get the thesaurus out here.
Yes. Oh, my God. I got to stop using words. Yeah. So it's funny because we rolled that... talking about like how it degraded into that big mess of people wanting their money back. You had mentioned, Promi, that you watch a lot of Kickstarters, and like, what's the success rate? Like 80% of them fall into that, and then the 20% make it and do something.
It's a little better than that, but it really kind of depends on what it is. And I've participated in a few that have done well.
I've done a couple.
In a few that have. I mean, they've succeeded. I wouldn't say I was necessarily happy with the end product, based on where they were talking about it when you originally get into it.
Like an Ouya, was it Ouya? Remember that video game
thing, yeah.
And everyone's like, oh, this is great, I'll buy it for $90. And you're like, I got a piece of crap.
Yeah.
It's dumb.
And then, of course, they're the ones that end up raising hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars and then never ship a product.
Wow. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. And, you know, the thing is that when you look at these people, I don't think the vast, vast majority of them that fail intended to. You know, I don't think they set out to collect, you know, $6 million.
Jump in a hot air balloon with the dollar sign bags and go, mwahahaha, exactly. And float away.
I think they just get in over their heads because they design things that they get a prototype or something going for something, and they have no manufacturing experience whatsoever, and they were able to get this one thing working, and it took them 6 months or a year to put this one thing together, and they don't understand that can't always translate to mass production. Like, if you've built this awesome thing that's so complex that you can't produce it, which means that one of two things happens, which is either you have to start compromising something that was going to be highly mechanical and highly intricate
and cool.
Now has to be really simplified, or it has to be cut completely from a feature because it's not something that can be mass replicated for an affordable cost, or you drive yourself bankrupt, you know, insisting that it has to be that way. You know, the like the Tucker, this is almost like the Tucker cars.
You know,
there were all these promises about the design and the whatever, and, you know, he only ever made, I think, 50 of them.
Yeah, they're rare. I've seen a couple of them, but...
And it's like, it was a vehicle that in some ways was ahead of its time, in some ways was oversold
for
what it was going to be. And in the end, you know, trying to even come close to what they promised turned out not to be something that could be done practically.
So is there, because I don't really keep up too much. I know a couple Kickstarters I've done, I did the Mystery Science Theater one, which I kind of actually thought they overpromised.
I was going to say that, but that one, that's kind of low-hanging fruit, though. That should have been easy for them.
I know, but I mean, I bought in at like the one, not the highest one, but like the second highest one that kind of got you everything.
Mm-hmm.
I almost feel like they gave me too much for my money. Like, I got, like, downloads, and I got other downloads, and I got, like, I was always getting stuff. Cards and postcards and this mug, and now, I know, I mean...
Oh, that's where that came from.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that doesn't cost that much to make, but they shipped it, and they shipped, and I kept getting stuff, and I was like, man, and I think they overpromised to ensure its success. Now, if they would do it for a second season, I guarantee the buy-in would not get you that much stuff, because they had to make sure that they did it. And then they like, and it went nuts. And all of us that got in that level, we got so much, and I'm thankful for it. But you know, is there any like outstanding example of one that totally just ripped everyone off? Like, because you'd know them. I know the Coleco, the guy was trying to do a Coleco relaunch, or the guy who did Coleco was trying to do some new thing, and it turned out that it was just like a ripped off Raspberry Pi version of a Super Nintendo. Like, it was really bad, and it just kind of floundered.
Yeah.
But did any come to mind that are like?
There's one that was I can't remember the name of it, but some really high end headphones, and I think they had a Kickstarter goal. I want to say of like $200,000 or something. They ended up getting millions, and then they ended up doing another second round to get even more. And I mean, they had so many pre-orders on this thing, and they kept dragging it out, and you know, like they kept giving updates, and it was like, you know, they're going to ship late, but the original backers will get theirs by this date, and then like a year later, they're, you know, and as far as I know, what their problem was is essentially a lot of what I just said. They designed something. They had an idea for something that, in their case, they hadn't actually gotten a working prototype even when they started selling it. So, you know, having no experience in the manufacturing process and not really a lot of experience in the design process, they had an idea for something and then kind of spitballed what the cost for development would be and then set that as a target goal. And even though they far, far, far exceeded that target goal, they discovered that, yeah, that then going into manufacturing and having prototypes made for you by a third-party company in China, and trying to work out the details, you know, like those one-offs get really expensive, and you know, trying to get an assembly line. And I think a few people may have actually gotten a couple pairs of headphones, but as far as I know, though, they completely ran out of money before they were able to ship. Yeah, I mean, there were like thousands and thousands of pre-orders for these things.
Now you're talking lawsuits and stuff, probably.
Well, the thing is that's the thing with Kickstarter is there's no guarantee, you know. Like once you reach the goal, technically there's no guarantee that you'll get your product because, you know, stuff happens. And that's kind of understood going in. I mean, that doesn't mean people won't try to sue necessarily, but then again, you have to think about how much $300 means to you, you know.
Yeah.
Depending on your state of mind, over the course of 3 or 4 years, $300 either really increases in value as you get frustrated, or it goes down in value when you know, it's a matter of whether you fall into the sunk cost fallacy and you just keep
I'll never get those, and you cut your losses and move on.
Yeah.
And that's the way life goes. Weird. Yeah, and you do have to be careful with that kind of stuff, because I always think of, like, the group you're dealing with is another thing. Audiophiles, they're nuts.
You
talk to somebody about the quality of a record player and how it sounds to them, and if you know right away, if you're like, uh-oh, this guy knows way too much
time
about
to change the subject.
So, and obviously, they're all listening to this show. So, yeah. All right, here's some music. We'll be right back.
You heard Marsalis threw Tony Rockyhara out of a four-story window for giving me a foot massage? Mm-hmm. Can you believe that?
Well, I mean, the time I was told, it sounded reasonable.
Marsalis throwing Tony out of a four-story window for massaging my feet seemed reasonable.
No, it seemed excessive, but that doesn't mean it didn't happen.
Thank you. working on the door. I don't need you, mama. So baby, did you have more? I don't need you no more. So baby, just a little bit at all.
$1 million and the fridge with a padlock and oh yeah, huge pectoral muscles.
Of course we all knew that was going. That was the 5678s off of their self-titled album. I played I Walk Like Jane Mansfield, I Don't Need You No More, and Scream. And that is exactly what it is, screaming. It's great. Good, calms your nerves.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess we'll not talk about any of that other stuff anymore because I don't know. It's
we'll talk about it. We just have to think of. We're gonna actually have to do a little.
I meant about our Kickstarter stuff and all that. Yeah, very interesting.
Yeah.
But it's always.
Yeah, we Mal brought up an interesting off-air topic.
Yeah.
That we'll do on-air one of these days, but it's going to require a little more
prep right
on our part.
Yeah.
So not because we couldn't talk about it, but because we don't have 3 hours to talk about it.
Yeah, exactly.
So, and for me in particular, I have to condense some thoughts.
Oh boy, I've been on to video game news. We got a Crash Bandicoot trilogy
that came out for the Switch, right?
Yeah.
How is it?
It's hard.
You know, I thought that was a PlayStation exclusive.
It was PlayStation, but I've...
I thought that was like a Sony brand product, actually.
Yeah, I thought it was too, but it's out.
Yeah. And, you're like, but it's there, and I'm pretty sure Sony didn't sign off on it, so apparently it's not.
Yeah, it's one of those games that's a lot harder than I remember. I played about 20 seconds, and I was like, because that was the Sally the Beer one. She was like, oh, yeah, it's one of my favorites. I was like, great, go.
So you're like, yeah, this is one of those games I get to get my butt handed to me by you from now on. Yeah.
Well, you know, I just discovered for the Switch, and I think they make it for Vita and PlayStation 4, so it's not exclusive, and I think even Xbox, limited run games. Have you ever heard of them?
For some reason, I think you brought this up before.
Okay,
It had to be you, because I don't talk in this much depth with anyone about video games.
It's this place that pre-orders, and you can pre-order as much as you want. I don't think they have a cutoff. They just have a cutoff date.
That is a crazy, crazy concept to me.
And, but...
Collectible video games,
basically. And that's the thing. So you get this game, And you can either A, open it and play it, or you can wait about 6 months and sell it for $300.
You could get two.
Yeah. I'm going to probably buy a few of them off of them.
But what are the prices on these games?
$29 or $39. Hmm. It's not like, because like one of them was the reissue of that, Night Trap? Remember that had the girl from that thing? Oh my God. What you talking about, Willis? What's that stupid show?
Different Strokes.
Different Strokes had that girl that turned into a...
Yeah.
She died and all that stuff. Well, she was in that as like a scantily clad girl. It was like a Dreamcast game or like a Sega CD game. And it was one of those that was like, ooh, this is pretty risky. You know, like back in the day when people thought that. You mean risque? That. Yes.
Okay.
Even worse, Cafe Risque from Georgia. Now, ooh. So this place...
Yeah, anybody who's been up 75 knows what you're talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. I never stopped there. I keep saying one day we're going to stop there. I just have to, but I'd probably be sad and regret it.
Yeah.
But they're releasing that for the Switch. And I was like, oh, that's weird, you know? So
yeah.
Some stuff is really popular. Some stuff is just who cares, you know? It's one of those things where you're like, interesting. It's an interesting concept, you know?
Yeah, it is. It is.
I've been going crazy with the Mario Kart now.
Yeah.
I got all gold, so now I'm going back and getting all triple stars. So, whew, it's tough on this one. It goes through. It has the mirror courses, and it also has the 200 CC now. So that's 200's tough. You know, it's a fun game though. I play it a lot. And
I've been going crazy with some retro TV.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, in this day and age, talk about AI and robots and stuff is very popular. And a lot of it has to do with things that are actually going on in our world. You know, the actual real life implications of these are starting to become really big questions for people. And you have movies like Ex Machina, excellent movie in my opinion.
Oh, that's one of my I love that
shows
movie.
Like Westworld, which just wrapped up season 2 finale, which really give you some things to ponder about the future of humanity and. Mm. You know, you'll appreciate it because one of the questions is if we really, as a species, deserve to continue. It was a friend of mine, and she made a joke. I made a comment about something, and she made a joke about something with me being a robot. And she's like, "Yeah, you're like that little girl from that show." And like I have no idea what you're talking about. And she had to look it up, and she's like, "Small wonder." Small Wonder was this show that was made in the mid-80s. There were 4 seasons, and it was a sitcom, and the dad builds a robot at home of a little girl. And he originally started on a project at work. He works at a robotics factory where they do things like the robots that build cars and stuff.
So it was like Chappie, except in the 80s.
Except it actually was the part was played by a little girl. Right. I mean, that just the back of her dress had this pull-down thing that opened up, and there were little computer-y things 80s inside.
80s parts, yeah.
Yeah.
We all saw Rocky 3 or whatever, the one with that Happy Birthday, Polly robot. Yeah. I know what the 80s are all about, the robots.
And the funny thing is that, you know, like, we started talking about this as a joke, but we're actually watching them now. And it's funny watching something from the 80s era and trying to kind of, like with today's mindset and watching it. Because, first of all, there's a peculiarly large amount of sexual innuendo between the parents with the kids around.
Crazy.
And the things the kids are the lines the kids have that are incredibly inappropriate that get the laugh from the grown-ups because, you know what that means, but the kid doesn't. And I'm thinking, like, how do you explain to an 8-year-old actor why everybody's laughing at what you're saying when you don't get the joke? Because if you get the joke, then Hollywood is just a really, 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 really horrible place.
It is.
But I'm watching this show, and it's like, I'm thinking, like, where are they going to go with this? You know, is this kid eventually going to develop, you know, because the robot kid is robot. There's no emotion there, and that's, but the whole storyline is that, you know, maybe I can teach her to be, like, a real girl, and I'm like, so is she eventually going to evolve into having these feelings? And then there'll be things where the mom is, like, trying to treat her like a child, and the dad, and, like, no, you know, go off and do this. The character's name is Vicky, which is an acronym for something. And the mom's like, oh, she doesn't have to. And the dad's like, honey, you have to stop thinking of her that way. She's not a little girl. She's a robot, even though he's calling her a she. And I'm thinking, like, well, this is interesting. You know, they're actually calling into, they're actually pointing out the conflict there between, you know, us trying to humanize machines. And I'm like, where are they going? And then I have to remind myself, this is a friggin' 80s sitcom. The show resets every 30 minutes. You know, like, every 30 minutes of television, it's like the last 6 hours didn't exist. There is no progression. But it,
this was fueled by cocaine and big hair and pastel colors.
But, like, I keep watching it. I can't really get out of the idea that there's going to be some... I'm like, there is no deeper meaning to this, which is what made it fun. And, I keep trying to apply it. And
That's interesting. I've never heard of it. But,
You know, it's one of those things. It's like a handlebar mustache. You know, you see guys, the hipster dudes with those mustaches. They originally grew them because they thought it would be funny. But then once they got it, it became like a part of their personality, and then it stopped being ironic, you know.
Poor jerks.
That's kind of like where we are with this show right now. I'm about 6 episodes in. You're so
like, I'm
far.
Too far in, man.
Kinda. Yeah. It's weird the way you get sucked into things.
That's cool. All right, hold on. Here's some music. We're gonna talk off air about this show. I want to learn more. I'm intrigued. we'll be right back. Let's play some. I don't know. Here's some music.
Little pigs, let me come in. Not by the hair on your chinny chin chin. Then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in.
Never be too, but I burn you wrong, but I want to love. just a leg that it can do. It's a good enough.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world. People who are intolerant of other people's cultures and the Dutch.
All right, that was Fifi and the Mach 3s. I still have not ingested the new CDs that they sent me. I got a care package from Fifi and the Mach 3s. And actually,
did it get here fast?
And it, yeah, and it actually became Mamie in the Mach 3s.
At Mach 3, you'd expect...
Very fast.
Delivery.
So I also have to post pictures. I'm going to take some pictures of the stuff they sent and put a blitz out there on our Facebook page, because that was very cool of them. You know, we got the Pebbles sent a couple CDs, which is awesome. And then, you know, next week we got Fifi and the Mach 3s, or Mamie and the Mach 3s. Got some of their new stuff, and it's always appreciated. And I really dig them. I hope you dig them too.
Yeah. Definitely.
They've been around for a long... Both those bands are very well established, been around for a long time, and it's really cool to have any dealings with some of these bands that are...
Yeah, and just, especially when they're well established and been around for a long time, and they're still cool.
And you know? That's the thing.
And I don't mean just still cool as in they're producing cool stuff, but still cool with people.
Like, yeah, like, I'm not going to reach out to Metallica anytime soon and get a response back.
You don't want the response you'll get from Lars.
I think probably...
He's like, I shut down Napster, I'll shut down you.
You're like, oh, come on, dude, I'm making nothing here. No, but yeah, so these guys are very approachable, very cool, you know, and I really hope you guys are going out there and checking them out and supporting them too, because...
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, very cool stuff. So yeah, Small Wonder. Let's start a Kickstarter campaign to get Small Wonder
back on the air, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, it worked for Roseanne, so, you know.
I love that you watch... those things, because I watched some of that older stuff, and you go, oh my god, how did that happen, you know, and it's not a, it's just one of those things where you just can't believe, like you're saying, the innuendo, and like, so, how different we are, you know, now.
Because there's a sign, something with a little girl where the mom makes a comment where she's like, oh, this could totally change the way we have children, and the dad's like, come on, honey, don't take all the fun out of marriage.
You're like, wow.
And the little boy's like, what are you talking about? And the mom's like, honey, if you don't understand, you're too young to have it explained. It's like, yeah, imagine a mom saying that to her kid, you know, like parents joking about.
It's crazy now.
Yeah. You wouldn't see that these days, but it's weird because it was a more innocent time, and yet
not.
Yeah.
You know? So, all right, that's going to be it for this week. We're wrapping down. Make sure you go out and get the Simple Radio app. Make sure you tell Alexa to play Radio St. Pete. And check out our Facebook page. Every now and then I'll try and do something with it. And that's it. Got anything else? We good?
Yeah.
All right, that's it. That's it for this week. My name's Matt, with me as always.
Promi.
And we will see you next week for more Saki Bomb A Go-Go.